remind us when he reminded the Philippian church, praise God, that I count all of these things but dung. Praise God, just to win the excellency of Jesus Christ. Paul was a man who was educated at the foot of Gamaliel. Paul could speak 12 different languages. Paul said that I am a Hebrew of Hebrew. He said, praise God, concerning the law. Praise God, I was a Pharisee. And praise God, and if there's anybody who needs to be braggadocious about who they are in Christ Jesus, what Paul is saying, that I should be the one that should be braggadocious. But he said, I take all of that stuff that I have, and I count it as dung.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
You're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Amen. Well, now I need you to look with me in the book of Revelations, chapter number 3. I've been sort of dealing, looking around at these seven churches and that the Lord sent these letters to, and the Lord dropped me on this one. Because I believe all seven is to the churches, even today, we can learn some things from these seven churches in Asia Minor that the Lord sent letters to. Amen. In the third chapter of the book of Revelation, I want to read verses 1 through 6. We're dealing with the church at Sardis. Amen. And those who have it, you can stand with us in the reading of God's word. Not because I say it, just in honor of God's word.
Amen.
And it begins by saying in verse number 1, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things say he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Our emphasis is really on verse number 1, the last part that says, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. The grass withers, flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And for a few moments this morning, I want to talk from the subject, an autopsy on a dead church.
Amen. Amen. Yes, bring it on.
Amen. I know your works. Are you with me? That you have a name, that you're alive, but you're dead. An autopsy on a dead church. Let me begin by saying that an autopsy is a medical term called postmortem. Post, after, and mortem means death. Simply put, it's an examination of the body after death. Now, the purpose of this examination, Brother Buckner, is to discover the cause of death. And so in the text, Jesus performs, an autopsy, amen, on the church at Sardis. It was a church with works, but not much life. It once had a reputation of being alive, but now is dead. And oh, what a graphic description of some of the historical ministries that we have today. But Jesus said to them, I know your works, that you have a name, that you're alive, but you are dead. In other words, the church at Sardis, from the outside, it looked like it was alive and well. But in reality, it was dead. Not dead physically, but it was dead spiritually. Because the church had become a thermometer that registered the temperature of the city instead of a thermostat that changed the temperature of the city. In other words, they had taken on the character of the city in which they reside. And so it is to this church in Sardis, who had become lazy, apathetic, and complacent, that the Lord Jesus visits, and he finds that just as the city of Sardis was dying, so was the church of Christ. But now we note that Jesus had no words of commendation for this church, but he does have some words of counsel. And so I would like for us to look at our Lord's words for this dying church, because I believe that there are some warnings in this counsel for us today. And so let us listen in as Jesus, that great physician, performs an autopsy on a dead church. Well, first thing we see is the great physician's pronouncement. First, we note in verse 1, he comes proclaiming his deity, because he comes to this church at Sardis as one who has the seven spirits of God, one who is holding the seven stars. Now, the seven stars of God refer to the Holy Spirit in his complete ministry. Now, this is a reminder to churches even today that we are to operate not in the power of human skill or human organization or leadership, but we are to operate under the awesome power of the Holy Spirit. Because when a church operates and walks in the power of the flesh, I tell you, they will surely fail. But when we walk in the power of the Spirit, there will be success. There will be glory, power, and life. And instead of deadness, and ineffectiveness. Now the seven stars are the pastors of the churches according to Revelation 1:20, meaning they are the messengers who bring the people the word of God, which says to us this morning that Jesus appears to one as one who has everything that the church needs to succeed, because his Spirit has all the power that the church needs, and his word has all the directions that his church needs. But now it seems to me that Jesus is saying to the church at Sardis, now if you will submit to me, you will find in me all that you need to accomplish my mission in the world. But note also that this is a message that every modern church today need to adhere to, because men are trying every method under the sun to reach sinners and to do the work of the church. When all of power we need is the fullness of the Holy Ghost and the power of God's word. And so what we need is not new methods, but new desires to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit and to do everything according to the teachings of the word of God. But Jesus also came proclaiming his discernment. Note, if you will, that Jesus said, I know your works. In other words, he comes as one who sees all and knows all. But now he doesn't commend their works, nor does he condemn their works. He merely tells them that he knows everything that they are doing. And my brothers and sisters, he knows everything that we are doing also. Because he sees all we do, along with the motive that drives us to do what we do, because he knows our hearts. But not only that, he also comes proclaiming his diagnosis, because apparently their works gave them the appearance of life, because Jesus tells them that they have a reputation of being alive. Because of all the outward appearances, this church was everything that a church should be. And you know, I'm sure, Brother Jackson, that when everybody moved to the town of Sardis, their former pastor suggested that they should visit this church because it had all the appearances of life. It had the appearance of a church that was on fire for the Lord. But my brothers and sisters, things are not always as they seem, because the great physician Jesus Christ placed a finger on the pulse of this church and pronounced them dead. And so no matter what others thought about the church at Sardis, Jesus knew the truth, because he tells them that even though everyone else thinks that they are alive, they are in fact dead. Because like a dead man, the church at Sardis was destitute of force and power. They were ineffective and inoperative. They were dead. Now there was activity, but it was not spirit of a spiritual nature. In other words, they were preaching, but no lives were being changed and sinners being saved. Yes, they had big crowds, but they had no power. And so despite of the fact that everybody saw this church as a live church, Jesus, the one who knew them better than anyone else, he looked at them and pronounced them, yes, Lord, not physically, but spiritually dead. My brothers and sisters, many churches are in the same shape today, meaning they have all the appearance of life, but the great physician who has his finger on the pulse, and he knows that they are dead. And let me say to us this morning that his finger is on the pulse of the Mount Olive Baptist Church this morning. And so the question to us is, does he feel a pulse? And if so, is our pulse strong and steady? Or is it weak and failing? What does Jesus know about our church that we may not know? And so having said that, let's consider some signs of a dying church that leads to a dead church. Well, a dying church rests on its past accomplishments and is satisfied with its present state. A dying church is more concerned about their rituals and formalities than they are about spirituality. A dying church is more concerned about social change than they are seeing folk lives being changed by the power of God. A dying church is more concerned about material growth than they are about spiritual growth. A dying church is more concerned with pleasing men than they are with pleasing God. A dying church clings more tightly to its creeds and confessions than it does the word of God. A dying church is one who loses its conviction that the Bible is the word of God. A dying church, my brothers and sisters, yes, Lord, it forgets to lose its conviction that God's word is the word of God, and that God is the God above all gods, and beside him there is no other. My brothers and sisters, Those are the signs of a dying church. But let me raise some signs of a growing church, of a living church. Well, the first sign is growth. All living things are characterized by growth. Because as long as we live in these bodies, we are maturing and we are changing, we are growing. But when we stop growing, it means that we are dead. Now, the church is no exception, although when people think of growth, many times we think of numerical growth. And I think that's part of it, but the primary way a church demonstrates life is through spiritual growth. Because a church that is alive will continue to develop spiritually. But when a church ceases to grow spiritually, it is degenerating and dying. The second sign is harmony. Now, when a physical body develops a problem, it's because there is disharmony in the body. Cancer is a good example of this. Because when some of the cells become infected by cancer, they attack other cells in the body. Now, if this is left unchecked, the results would be disintegration and death to the body. The same is true in the church. Because when a church is alive and well, there will be harmony and unity in the body. But when there isn't, the body is diseased and is heading for trouble unless the infected parts come back in harmony. Because when a church becomes fractured, yes, Lord, is headed for disaster and death. The third sign is emotion. Now, this is another mark of life in the physical realm. Meaning, because I'm alive, I can laugh, I can cry, I can feel pain, and I can feel joy. I have emotions, and they demonstrate the fact that I am alive. But now, when a physical body dies, one of the clearest indications of death is that the person does not show any sign of emotion. And again, the same is true in the church. Because, Brother Jones, a living church is an emotional church. There will be times when we will laugh together. There will be times when we will weep together, shout together, sing together, hate together, and pray together. In other words, when there is life, there is emotions. Finally, the fourth sign is that of motion. Because one sure sign of life is motion. Because physical bodies are bodies in motion. And so a sure sign of death is the absence of motion. And so it is with the church. Because my brothers and sisters, when a church is alive, there will be motion. In other words, the church will be active in the world, doing the work of the Lord. And so the question is, how do we measure up this morning? Do we exhibit the sign of life or the signs of death? Now, I don't think we here at the Mount Olive Baptist Church are dead, but I do think that we could show a few more signs of life. And so the great physician pronouncement is, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Well, secondly, we see the great physician's prescription. My brothers and sisters, the church at Sardis was in bad shape, but all was not lost. It appears that there's still some hope for them to make some changes to get back to where they need be. No, they are commanded to watch. Now, this literally means that they are to chase sleep, because of the fact that this church is a church with a glorious past. They were allowing their past success to lull them into a state of complacency and spiritual slumber. And so Jesus calls on them to chase away sleep. His command is for them to wake up and realize that the victories of yesterday are not sufficient for this day and time. Oh, my brothers and sisters, when we allow ourselves to sleep, because of what we have enjoyed in the past. We're going to find ourselves conquered by the enemy, because the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be on your guard and stay awake. For your enemy, the devil, like a roaring lion, he's sneaking around to find someone to attack. Now, this happens far too often in many of our churches today, because the church was struggle in its beginning, and the core group who founded the church will have to work, they will have to pray, witness, give, and yield to God to see that the church stay alive. But over time, more people come in, more money come in, buildings are being built, and good services are enjoyed. Yet in the midst of all these good things, Brother Jones, something terribly happens, because the church began to lose the vision that made them strong in their early years. In other words, they become content to sit back and enjoy the fruit of their labor. But now, while we ought to always thank the Lord for what he's done for us in the past, we ought to be thankful for that, but we should never reach the place where we can feel that we can let up and rest on past accomplishments. There's no time to look back and rest on yesterday. Yeah, but our vision ought to be for today and for tomorrow. Just look around you in the church. I believe you know that we are all aging. And so the question is, who's going to take our place? Look around you. Are you satisfied with what we have and where we are? If so, we have, or we're becoming complacent, and we're losing the fire that once made us strong. But my brothers and sisters, we must fight the tendency to become still, satisfied, complacent, and apathetic. Note the Lord gave the church full activities that they are to be busily engaged in that will help the church, yes, Lord, that has been caught napping on the Lord. No, Jesus tell them in verse 2, he says, strengthen the things which remain. In other words, he tell them that everything about them has not died. There are still some things left with a spark of life still in them. And these things ought to be revived before they die. Now the phrase ready to die literally means they are knocking on death's door. In other words, this is called for a time to get stirred up again for the things of the Lord. Now all this is called is a revival, because Jesus said, I have found your works not perfect before God. Now this means that their works were incomplete. Yes, they were singing, praying, preaching, and giving, but their works were not reaching heaven. Are y'all hearing me? Meaning they were accomplishing nothing of any eternal value. Because it is possible, but Bruce, to be busy in the things of God and yet not be doing anything for God. And so what every church like the church that Sardis need is to be stirred up by the Spirit of God into new life and activity for the glory of God. But not only were they to strengthen the things which remain, but verse 3 told them to remember. Remember therefore how you received and heard. In other words, they have to remember the days that they served the Lord out of glad hearts and wanted more than anything to do his will. They are to remember what it like to walk in the power of God while the fire of his glory burned in the church and he used them for His glory. But my brothers and sisters, I need to warn you, because memory can be a bad thing, especially when our memories cause us to want to live in the past and rest on past glory. But if memory wakes us up and causes us to be resurrected in the present, then and only then does memory serve a great purpose. And so let us remember the God who makes churches great for his glory, and let's seek him once again. Now the question again this morning is, what is our resolve? Well, the text says, hold fast. Now, the hold fast means that this church is to hold on to the things that are still alive in their midst. And so their resolve before the Lord, as well as ours, must be that we will not allow the things that are alive to die as well. But what does it mean to repent? It means to come to a place where one experiences a change in mind about one's sins that results in a change of directions. In other words, we turn from our sins and we turn toward God. But let me ask you this morning, how long has it been since you as an individual and perhaps we as a church repented before God for our laziness, our complacency, our apathy, our weakness, and our deadness? Well, now the church is told if they don't repent, the Lord himself would come in their midst and take away the things that remain alive, and the church's silence would be totally and fully dead. Like a thief in the night, he will come in and take the best, and they will not even know when he came and when he left, because they will be in a state of spiritual slumber. And you know what? Many churches today are in that very condition, because when the call of repentance came from the Lord, they ignored it, and he came with swift judgment. Now they still function the same way they always have. They have services, they have preaching, they have outreach ministry, and they give to the mission, but still they are dead. They're just going through the motions, because Jesus has pulled the plug and pronounced them to be dead. Just like Samson, the Lord had left them and they didn't even know it. My brothers and my sisters, that's a situation we want to totally avoid at all costs. And so Jesus told them to hold fast and repent. But not only do we have the great physician's pronouncement and prescription, but finally we have the great physician's promises in verses 4-6. Because as bad as things were in Sardis, there were still some that who were saved. There were still some who were seeking the Lord. And so they're given the Lord's promises that they will walk with the Lord in white, because they have lived out the truth of his word, and they can be confident that one day in glory they will walk with him in white. Now, white clothing was worn in Roman times during festivals and times of celebration as a symbol of purity, victory, and festivity. But it doesn't compare with the promises that the Lord makes to the faithful members of his church. Jesus said, you folk are standing faithful, and you have not defiled your garments with the deadness that exists all around. You are saved, and you are serving. And so one day you will walk with me in heaven. It will be a time of victory, festivity, and purity. No, Jesus tell the rest, if they repent and turn to him, they will also receive some precious promises. But now when I say, when he says, I will not blot out his name from the book of life, God is not saying that he blots folk out of the book of life. Now I raise this statement because a whole lot of folk use this to try to convince us that a Christian can lose their salvation. But we're not talking about the Lamb book of life. But this verse is not, doesn't serve as a threat or a loss, but it's a verse that offers precious security to all those who believe in the Lord. Because when a person is saved, I need to tell you that your name is written down in the Lamb book of life, and it's not written down in pencil, so it won't be erased out. No wonder Jesus told his disciples, I'm almost through, that one don't marvel about all the power that you have. He said, but you ought to rejoice that your name have been written down in heaven. Now, it could be that when a person dies lost, their names are blotted out of the book of the living. And so when the end comes and the books are opened, the names written in the book of living will match the names written in the Lamb book of life. But when you've been born again, I tell you, someday, Jesus.